The main focus of Habitat for Humanity across the country is to build homes for people who might not otherwise afford them and get the new owners invested with some sweat equity of their own. The mission is a bit broader in the Rogue Valley, where Habitat runs a couple of stores featuring goods that have already had owners. Restores, they are called, and Habitat sees a further invigoration of the Restore mission into a realm called neo-repurposing. One goal, keep things out of landfills. Three guests join us from Habitat for Humanity. Denise James, the executive director. Hi, Denise.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Ron McKinley is the Restore director. Ron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone from upstate, Craig Phillip, who is a solid waste reduction analyst with the Oregon DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality. Hi, Craig.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Denise, let's start with you. I got the impression that this was something you already did at Restore. So how does this further that mission?
This really enhances it. We found over the years that our landfill costs are going higher. The amount or opportunity for recycle was growing. We just really didn't have the bodies or the resources to manage it properly. The whole entire idea of Restore was really to recycle, reuse, use those funds to help us build houses. And over the last couple of years, our store has grown. It's almost gotten away from us. This opportunity will really help us manage it.
Is it a good funding source for Rogue Valley Habitat?
It is a good funding source. Right now, the Restore pays 100% of all the administrative costs of our organization, so that we're able to tell donors that all of your donations to us and cash donations will go directly towards our home building programs.
Oh, really? So none of the overhead goes into the donations anyway.
Correct.
Yeah, from the Restore. So Ron McKinley, talk to us about what happens at the stores. I mean, are you still taking a fair amount of stuff that can't be sold out to landfill?
Yeah, we on an average take over 1,000 donations a month, and we're fairly picky about what we pick up, but occasionally we do get stuff that just will not sell, and we don't have the resources or the manpower to be able to repurpose it to where we can do it, because to take a table, say, that needs some work on it, it almost has to be ready to be sold. So with this going on now, we'll be able to refinish that and maybe get volunteers to work on them to be able to enhance our store sales.
So it's taking stuff essentially that you're getting now, but just being able to provide it at a slightly higher level of ready for saleness.
A higher level and not having to put it in the dumpster to go to the landfill.
Mm-hmm. So, Craig Phillip, the last time we talked to DEQ about solid waste, it was about China not taking recyclables anymore. Is there any overall assessment on the possible impact on Oregon landfills from that?
Yes, although this grant project with Habitat for Humanity actually fit in beautifully with the waste prevention focus of our grant program. We've had a waste prevention focus for decades, and we thought it was a fairly innovative project, so that's why we agreed to fund it.
So waste prevention, in other words, we're really talking about reuse rather than recycling and just keeping things away from the whole waste stream to begin with.
That's exactly right, because there's greater environmental benefits associated with waste prevention and reuse.
And have we been successful in Oregon over the last few decades of the efforts at DEQ at reducing the I don't know what rate you would look at there, but are we taking less stuff to landfills?
Well, it ebbs and flows with the economy, so we like to think that our efforts are having an impact, and our grant program has been, you know, geared towards helping that along. And also the new approach that we're taking towards waste management, materials management, we're calling now, helps, you know, move that focus more towards waste prevention. We've always had a waste prevention, you know, focus in our work, but this declares it more explicitly through our waste management plan, and all of our programs are being geared towards that.
So, Denise, talk about the grant that Craig has mentioned here a couple times now, because this is really enabling your efforts into neo-repurposing to go a bit further.
It really is. And it was really stemmed from what our costs are. We were spending so much at the landfill. We had volunteers that would say, can we find a way to repurpose or reuse? And we just didn't have an opportunity to really organize it and develop some good programs. So the grant will really enable us to do that.
So are there a lot of awe moments at the two restores, the one in Medford, the one in White City, Ron, in the sense of like, if we just had a little more time or one more person, we wouldn't have to take this to the landfill?
Yeah, we think about that every day.
What are some of the examples of things you can remember from recently?
Oh, you get a couch in that maybe needs a little bit of soap and elbow grease to get it cleaned up, and you don't have the manpower to do that, so, I guess we better take it to the landfill. And it's a waste of items that are coming in, and it's also an overload to the landfill. Because couches are a little bit hard to get rid of.
Boy, no kidding. You often see them on the side of the road with a free sign on them, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, we have a person in place who recycles or works through our appliances. So that was our first step, is we outsourced that for a while, and then we brought it in-house. So we do have a department that cleans, repairs, fixes appliances, and we're able to resell them. And that's a huge amount that doesn't go to landfill washers and dryers and things that really was a benefit to us. So if we could just continue that force of what can we reuse, recycle, and maybe teach some clinics. We've done some really great fun things, recycling some furniture for children's projects. And it's just a manner of organizing it.
With the appliances in particular, Ron, does that present a trick as time goes on with microprocessors showing up in just about everything?
Yes, it does. Luckily, the guy that, that runs that department for us is pretty knowledgeable about them. In fact, he's pretty knowledgeable about motors and everything else, so we definitely use him. But we do have another gentleman that works with us that's pretty much into the electronics end of it, computers and this sort of thing, about being able to reuse those. We use an awful lot of those in-house when we can get them fixed up.
We were talking about NEO repurposing and Habitat for Humanity of the Rogue Valley, which has two places called Restores Now, and is talking about beefing up the effort a little further to be able to put more work into items to keep them away from landfills. Denise James is the executive director. Ron McKinley is the director of the Restores. We also have with us Craig Phillip from the Oregon DEQ, where he's a solid waste reduction analyst. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Craig, clearly it is not just Habitat for Humanity. I mean, can you think of some other organizations around the state that are taking advantage of the grant program and the kinds of things they're doing?
Well, yeah. So we had a new focus area this year with our grant program, which is food waste prevention. So several organizations involved in food rescue applied for grants and were given grants for equipment that they needed to help increase their capture of reusable food and trucks and things like that. Other Habitat for Humanity restores and other thrifts that are engaged in similar work to Habitat for Humanity, the Rogue Valley. So we had a very good representation around the state for grant applications this year.
So I know that you work with something about the life cycle of materials. This is a fairly broad view of things. What does that mean when you're talking about the life cycle of materials?
So I might be able to illustrate this a little bit with an example. So I'll take a lawnmower. I have a lawnmower that I just had repaired this week. So my lawnmower is made out of metal. It's made out of plastic. It's got some rubber, spark plugs and things like that. It's made out of a variety of materials that come from different suppliers. So materials management, when I say it takes a life cycle view of materials, we use something called life cycle analysis to bring that into focus. And if you do a life cycle analysis of a lawnmower, you look at every phase of the life cycle of that. So it's made from a variety of different materials, which came from petroleum, which were mined as ore. Those materials were refined. They were sent to a factory where the lawnmower was put together, and then the lawnmower was used, and it uses fuel, and it uses oil. And at the end of its life, maybe it can be recycled for the recyclable materials in it, but otherwise it might end up a landfill somewhere. So by, you know, making efforts to extend its life, you avoid all the environmental impacts associated with its life cycle. And our research has shown that most of the environmental impacts associated with almost anything are at the upstream phases of the life cycle of something, where the raw materials are extracted and refined and where the thing is produced and where, certainly in the case of a lawnmower, it's used, where there's emissions from the fuel, et cetera. So extending the life of something like that not only is economically beneficial, mine costs a lot more new than it did to repair it, but it also avoids the environmental impacts associated with creating a new one.
But it seems like there would have to be a lot of people reusing materials or renewing them to provide enough back pressure to stop products from being made in the first place, you know, to stop the mining of the metal and all the other things that made that lawnmower.
Well, there is a move nationally, which was pointed out in a recent article in the Mail Tribune, about repairing to reuse products. More and more people are finding that things are costing about as much as they used to in the past, but they don't seem to last as long, nor are they as fixable. And a lot of people like to try to repair things. And so there's a national movement to get manufacturers to design their products so that they are repairable, or at least to provide, you know, manuals or something like that to guide people on the repairing of things. A lot of electronics are easily repairable for simple things. And so people want to do that, and they don't want to have to necessarily throw it away and buy a new one. They see it as wasteful. So, you know, materials management is also about resource conservation.
Craig Phillips with the Oregon DEQ. We're talking about the reuse part of reduce, reuse, recycle. Also with Denise James and Ron McKinley from Habitat for Humanity in the Rogue Valley. What is the stuff that sells the most at the Habitat Restores now, Ron McKinley?
Right now, 25% of my sales is furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it would be building supplies,
mm-hmm. So doors,
windows.
So then furniture is at the obvious place where if you can get some renewal work going on, you can sell more of that?
I can sell more of it at a higher price.
Mm-hmm. And so is that the goal then? I mean, furniture is a large part of the focus here?
It's a large part of the focus, but also right now we've got a lot of doors. Our building department is building frames for them, so they don't have to be go to the recycle. They can be have frames put on them and then resold to the public.
Okay. So did we mention how much you spend at Habitat for landfill fees right now? I don't know if I heard a dollar amount.
Our highest has been $4,000
in
a month.
A month.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
When it went from $2,000 to $4,000, and we said we have to make a change here. We have to get a little more organized. We have to figure out what we're doing and do it a little bit more efficient.
And so what will the DEQ grant be used for specifically at Habitat?
It'll be for a staff position. Mm-hmm. We're going to hire a project manager who will really oversee what's going in the landfill, what can we do to reuse, whether that's developing some programs for repurposing, maybe some clinics, teaching, finding ways to recycle differently, other maybe build partnerships within the community to extend the life of a product, as well as finding ways to recycle them, take them apart, or use them in different ways.
The clinics and teaching is interesting. So you're talking about actually helping people in the community fix things up potentially before they bring them to you?
We have people that come in constantly that buy a product and will change it into something different. And they'll come in and show us pictures. Sometimes they'll bring us the product. And we've had quite a bit of interest in saying, gosh, we'd like to do this as a whole. We've also done this with students from St. Mary's have come, and we'll take some of our products, for example, the cabinet doors that would be extra, and has used them or changed them into chalkboards or put mirrors on them or put art on them. And so we've realized as a group we can let people do this or teach them how to make something different out of what we have.
Some interesting stuff. How's the space at the Restores? I mean, if you're able to do this successfully, Ron McKinley, I mean, are you going to run out of space at some point? You seem fairly tight at the Medford Restore last time I was there.
Yeah, we are pretty tight, but it seems like we can always make more room somewhere in the building. We've got three buildings all together. We use one and a half. You give us a little bit of space, we'll take the rest of them. So, yeah, there's always room to do more. We've got one room. We're pretty much setting up just two basic clinics in.
And so what are the metrics for success here, Denise James? I mean, what will you look at the end of next year and say, okay, this worked, or we need to tweak this, or, you know, what are some of the things you're setting up to measure the program by?
My bottom line, of course, is going to be cost. Have we saved money from the landfill? Have we increased sales from repurposing items? Have we increased donations because we can take more now, or do we decrease because we're screening them better? And really, are we increasing sales? Are we really, the bottom line is, are we able to increase what we can provide to the overall organization to help build more houses.
Does it feel at all like you're swimming upstream in a culture of the new, or that values the new so much?
I'm not really sure. I feel like I'm swimming upstream in the stuff that we have at the ReStore. It's overwhelming at times. But actually, we found I believe that when the recession really hit us, we were the ones that were the busiest. People were doing it themselves more often, not buying new as often, repurposing more. It began to become more, a little bit more popular.
And Craig Phillip, the stuff you were describing just a few moments ago about how people seem to get into fixing things, is there an origination for the term neo-repurpose movement?
Well, apparently there is. Apparently it was developed by some of the people associated with a website called iFixit. A term I was familiar with was called upcycling, which is taking something along the lines of what Denise was describing, some cabinet doors, and making them into something entirely new and different that could either be reused that way or could be resold.
So when do you anticipate having a staff person hired and all the parameters set up for that, Denise?
Well, we're working with Craig right now to finalize the contract, the paperwork, what we need to do for the grant. And right after the holidays, I'll begin really finalizing what that job description looks like. And we're hoping by the end of January, first part of February, we'll really be able to start rolling with that.
Is the grant enough for a year or 2 years?
I believe it's sufficient for a year. Mm-hmm. And we hope that the position will really become self-sustaining with what we can save and increase.
Well, yeah, if you get more sales and you reduce mm-hmm. your dump prices, you seem to have enough for a salary right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so people can start looking for new things potentially sometime next year at the Habitat ReStores?
New and better.
New and better. And where the ReStore, there's the one in Medford on South Pacific Highway, just south of the Armory, and where's the other one?
The other one is in White City and Cascade Shopping Center.
All right. Well, that is the Habitat ReStores for Rogue Valley Habitat for Humanity. Ron McKinley runs the two stores. Denise James is the executive director. Craig Phillip is a solid waste reduction analyst at the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, DEQ. Thank you all for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.